Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Awakening the Sleeping Giant podcast. I am really excited about this episode as we continue walking through my book, Awakening the Sleeping Giant, A Guide to Living Out the New Testament Church. And so just like my previous podcast for this series, we are going to be walking through my book. I am reading each chapter, kind of discussing each chapter. So I hope you guys gain a lot from this. So this is chapter 3 of this book. And this chapter focuses a lot on the fruit of the church and really what we should be seeing as a result of living out the biblical aspects. So the pre-chapter assessment questions for this chapter, we've got 5 of them. Question number 1 is, what is the main goal of your church? Think about that for a second. What is the main goal of your church? And then how is the whole body reaching that goal? So what I mean by that is not just leadership, not just pastors, not just elders, but what is your entire body, the whole church, doing to reach that goal? And then how does your church expect people to hear about Jesus? What is your local church's expectation for people to hear the gospel message, to hear about Jesus? How does your church do that practically? Not necessarily what are they expecting the church to do, but what does your church actually do? And then how does your church gauge fruit, right? How does your local church that you are part of, that you lead, that you're a pastor of, how does that church gauge fruit? What is that gauge? What is that measurement that you guys use? And then how many times in the past decade has your church added new attraction-based elements? So new worship styles, new programs, sanctuary ambiance, building remodel, maybe multiple services, multiple different styles of services, et cetera, et cetera. So over the past decade, what has your church added that's attraction based? So just think about those questions as I'm reading through this chapter, and hopefully this really opens up some eyes and really gets those gears turning. All right, so the institutional church is an amazing feat when you think about it. I mean, really, if you think about this for a second, think what the church has done. Somehow, leaders of the North American church have managed to convince people that the church is a location or building, and in that form, is an important aspect of Christian faith. We hear it called the house of God, God's house, the temple of God, and so on, right? Yet the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that we are God's temples. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, who you have received from God? As a result of this false understanding, people have given millions of dollars each year to building funds, projects, and other specified funds that are needed for the church to run. Not to mention the tithes and offerings that come in for paying staff, maintenance needs, supplies, debt, and other costs for operating an organization, okay? So there's all kinds of money that is coming in just to keep this building operating. According to Lewis Center for Church Leadership, Lovett Weems reminds us that visitors often form first impressions of a church based on the appearance of areas they first encounter, such as the parking lot, entry, and restrooms. He recommends 4 steps to assess and improve the message sent to newcomers by the condition of your facilities. Well, these needs are being met with little question. A father who just lost his job needs to apply to a church program and take budget classes for help. And a single mother who needs groceries for her 3 children must humiliate herself by going to food pantries or applying for food stamps. Then is just looked down upon because of it. Guys, that is backwards, right? Totally backwards of what we as the church are supposed to be doing, right? We raise all kinds of millions of dollars for all of these programs, all of these church things, all of these new attraction-based things for these churches, all the while people within the church congregation are literally struggling financially and they're looked down upon because of their financial state. Warren Bird's research reveals half of a church's budget goes to pay staff. Half of a church's budget goes to pay staff. For churches with worship attendances of 2,000 or more, the total debt average is 66% of the church's annual budget. Guys, that is not biblical. We do not find that in scripture anywhere. How are we supposed to meet each other's needs if 66% of that is going towards debt for the church? This is absolutely insane, right? Enotcom, Olson, and Stark discuss in their article, Religions and Church Growth, Social Forces, a similar mindset towards church growth, concluding, a religious organization cannot survive, much less grow, unless it obtains sufficient resources from the environment. Congregations need places to meet and people to lead them. Church structures cost money and build and maintain. Outreach, evangelism, and community service demand time and money, and activities of ministers, music directors, Sunday school teachers, and janitors never come free, even when supplied by volunteers. Their findings are representative of a consistent mindset towards growth in the North American church. E.M. Bounds has been quoted saying, money has materialized the church. The money she does not give has earthened her. Money loving, money making, money keeping is the rock on which the spiritual movements of the church are stranded. Guys, that is a huge, huge revelation. Money is literally stranding the church so they cannot bring huge spiritual movements. In essence, the North American structure demands a continued stream of money to function. And this demand does not include any personal needs of church members or giving done by the church. The article, Religions and Church Growth, Social Forces, furthers this thought. Growth can only occur if there are surplus resources, such as time and money, beyond the minimum requirement to maintain certain operations and to compensate for depreciation in physical facilities and in membership loss to death or departure. Money, guys, is the revolving focus of the North American church, and that is not okay. That is not biblical. All of this is done under the guise, the bigger or better the church, the more people will come, hear, and give. If the idea of being bigger and better continues to be the focus of church growth, it may be possible that more people will walk through the front doors, sit in the seats, hear a message, and give to some degree. However, this is hardly the case for the church as a whole. Ferreira and Chipanayu find that church membership trends reveal a consistent decline within Protestant churches around the world. They continue to report that American Protestant churches declined by 5 million members, or it's 9.5%, from 1990 to 2000. So just in a 10-year time span, nearly 10% of the church has gone into decline. Or the church has declined by nearly 10%. He adds that half the church did not add new members for 2 years preceding 2007. Even if local church numbers do increase, numbers rarely equate to people being reached with the truth, maturing in their faith, or being obedient to the truth, which is the purpose of the church. Guys, that is a huge, huge revelation. According to the Bible, if the North American church structure was working for kingdom advancement, the above stated numbers would not only be significantly less, but reversed from decreasing to increasing. The fact that the North American church is on the decline should indicate that the structure is not biblical. Thus, whatever is accepted as working is not working to produce the right kind of fruit. Guys, there is one of the most significant issues that we see, is that most churches are not looking at the right type of fruit. Most churches are looking at numbers and dollars as evidence as church growth, not spiritual maturity. Guys, this must change. With an attraction-based come-and-hear church structure for the purpose of numerical growth, an often unrecognized problem arises. Or maybe it is less unrecognized as it is denied. The problem is truth, or the lack of it, to be more precise. Truth historically has turned more people away than it has attracted. Jesus' message to the crowd about drinking his blood and eating his flesh, needing to be born again, and the cost of following him are just a few biblical examples. To be fair, this issue with truth extends much farther than just the church. We have been conditioned to accept non-truths as truth in many facets of our lives. One example can be found in the special effects used in movies. Some of my favorite movies are about espionage. I love espionage movies. They're exciting. They're exhilarating. In some way, I guess this makes sense because espionage is what was taking place when the gospel was being spread. And when the church was founded, a man or woman meeting death at every corner in the attempt to retrieve or deliver information that could change the world, while their enemy is hot on their heels trying to stop them, often from the inside. Will they complete their mission? Will the world be saved? What unbelievable predicament will they find themselves in next? Will they get shot? Will they get thrown in prison, making a miraculous escape? We all know the ending. So what is it about movies that cause us to keep coming back? Two words, special effects. Most of us know that a fender bender does not cause a car to explode. In fact, I was just in a fender bender, well, a little bit more of a fender bender. I actually got rear-ended really bad. The guy lost his brakes and pretty sure my car is totaled. But here comes the point. Most of us know that a fender bender does not cause a car to explode. My car did not explode. Jumping from a three-story building will likely kill you, and a punch to the face does not make a cool thump, swoosh, thud sound. Yet we rarely question the truth of any of this while watching our favorite movie. When was the last time you watched a movie and questioned, like legitimately questioned, what was taking place? In fact, we enjoy it and continue to come back for more. This may seem like a far leap from church structure, but it is important to understand why film producers use special effects, as it correlates with the North American church structure. Maybe Ed Sobock's definition of a special effect can help. The term special effect is broadly defined as any image or element within the image that has produced by an extraordinary technical means, an excess of the ordinary technology necessary for the production of motion pictures. To paraphrase, special effects are elements used to produce something that is not naturally present to enhance what is naturally present. Although many people enjoy special effects, they may not always enjoy what is obviously false. Mustenberg describes the film experience as a unique inner experience that, due to simultaneous character of reality and pictorial representation, brings our mind into a peculiar complex state. This unique inner experience is what creates the fascination for movies and their apparent reality. People desire reality, even if that reality is created and fake, as long as the fake stimulates the sense in a pleasing manner. Many people, however, do not want the truth. The Bible reveals this in 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teaching to say what their itching ears want to hear. Thus, when the truth of God's word creates friction in one's reality that meets his or her personal satisfactory criteria. For a reason similar to film producers, a majority of North American churches use their own type of special effects, like art, videos, dramatic words, stage, lights, a fog, big bands, darkened sanctuaries, dynamic speakers, and aesthetic decor. Based on Mustenberg's description of special effects purpose, these special effects used by churches bring the minds of those attending services into a peculiar, complex state. Thus, special effects are used in churches throughout North America, presenting a pleasing reality that often results in numerical growth and financial increase. Sadly, based on what has been defined as special effects, the result is compromised truth. The church, then, when operating under an institutional structure with a focus on attracting people with programs, building features, and entertainment, must adjust the truth they share. Most leaders within North American churches are not intentionally lying. However, many are leaving out certain truths, which is lying. Why would they do this? The answer is simple: money. Now, please hear me say this. I do not believe that the North American church and her leaders are money hungry, greedy, or have an intentional underlying motive of making money. They need to make money, or the need to make money is a natural outcome of the North American church structure itself. The structure demands the outcome. A business structure demands money. Let me explain. With more people comes the need for a bigger building, which comes with the need for more money, which further complicates the organizational structure. Weems believes a building is not an end in itself, but it can either help or hurt your mission of reaching and serving others in the name of Christ. This adds to the evidence that many North American churches view the building as an integral part of the church. Sarah Joy Propi for the Gospel Coalition, in the article titled "Come On In, 10 Tips for Welcoming Guests into Your Church Building," suggests decorating the outside, marking a sidewalk, making the front door obvious, pleasing threshold transitions, using art or a bench as a marker for the front door, having something for people to do as they wait, and signage are all important factors when building a church. Wow, I do not find that in scripture. If your goal is to build a hotel, what Weems and Propi suggest should be seen as important factors. But if your goal is to grow the church as modeled for us by Jesus Christ, these factors seem incompatible. Can you picture Jesus saying, "All right, I know this has been hard and a lot of people do not want to be part of the local church. Let me tell you why that is. You have not done a good job with the exterior to interior threshold transition. You guys just need to get better at that. And the decorating is so drab. Where are all the paintings and nice toilets and all nice fixtures? And what are all these people supposed to do while they wait for you to tell them the truth about me? You don't expect them to talk to each other, do you?" As ridiculous as this sounds, this is exactly the environment many North American churches subconsciously teach and create. Again, I am addressing issues that are an outcome of the North American church structure, not North American church leaders. Guys, this is super important to make clear. It is not leaders I'm addressing. I'm addressing the church structure itself. One issue with the structural aspect of special effects within the North American church is that people are attracted to change. Every 10 years or so, clothing styles change dramatically. housing styles change, desired vehicle types change, and so on. This often leads to forced change even if a person does not desire change. Clothing is a perfect example. We are limited in our clothing selection by what stores sell. Stores sell what the masses want. Apparently, people want men who wear a size 36 or larger to put on skinny stretch jeans because I cannot find a pair of regular denim non-stretch jeans to save my life. Can't do it. The North American church has done nothing different. Because attraction preferences change over time, worship styles change, the building features change, the ambiance change, stage setup changes, preaching styles change, and worst of all, what is accepted as truth changes. As a result, churches' financial needs grow, creating the need for higher church attendance. When the attendance need grows, the need to keep them coming grows. When the need to keep them coming grows, the need to keep them happy grows. When the need to keep them happy grows, the need to give them what they want grows. When the need to give them what they want grows, compromise is the result. There is no other option. The structure demands the outcome. What was meant to be a community of Christians committed to and learning from one another, worshiping together, praying together, and meeting each other's needs, has turned into a not-for-profit business that depends on how many people come each week and how much money they give. This cannot be denied. Before you get defensive, remember, typically this is an unintentional outcome that naturally derives from the structure itself, which is based on a capitalist business model. The North American church leaders have good intentions. However, the methods used to achieve them are inadequate and counterproductive, resulting in a come and hear consumer-driven church rather than a grow and send multiplication-driven church. Guys, the fruit that the church uses or the fruit that the church looks at needs to change. We need to be looking at the fruits of the Spirit. We need to be looking at maturity in the church. So when I talk about growth, what I am referring to is not numerical growth, right? Not budget growth, but growth in maturity and growth in unity, because that is what the Bible talks about when it talks about growth, okay? So our closing questions for this chapter. What factors can you see within the local church that have resulted in an unintentional compromise of truth? How can your church better minister the truth of the gospel? Has money become a driving force in your church? If so, what needs to change? Guys, if we want to see revival, if we want to see amazing spiritual growth, if we want to see things change for the better, the church has got to restructure itself. And we here at Made the Exchange International, we want to help you grow. We want to provide you with workshops. We also have some free church assessments, some health assessments that you guys can take. And we want to help you grow in that area. So you can go to our website, madetheexchange.com. There's some free material on there you can download. You can reach out and contact me at theexchange.go@gmail.com. I want to hear from you guys. I want to help you become a biblical church. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Awakening the Sleeping Giant podcast. And until next time.